Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. How we got a fully loaded house in here this afternoon. I do mean fully loaded. Of course, Drew Duffney joining us, hanging out with us in the background, while Brother Stone, good friend of the show, a guy I'm sure we'll be subjecting to do some unsolicited advice and picks and things
He's
later with us.
He's good for unsolicited advice, though. Yes, he is.
Always is. And then Jim's floating around here somewhere doing Lapeer Main Street things as well.
Yep.
But right off the jump, we got to get sports things out of the way because the Red Wings. Red Wings last night.
Oh, Sean, are you referring to that Red Wings team that was up 4-0 in the second period, then let in four goals to finish out the second period 4-4? Is that the team that you're referring to?
Yes, indeed. That team, the one that put up three goals in 49 seconds and proceeded to give all of them back.
Three goals, and then the coach puts them in a timeout, puts them in the naughty stool, and then they score another one. They pull the goalie, and the Red Wings all thought they got it. And then San Jose came back and scored four unanswered goals. Larkin comes back in the third period, scores a goal. They tie it up, and then win it in overtime. How do you lose to a team that is last in everything? They're last in the NHL, last in goals against.
The Sharks are like the Pistons of the NHL.
They are terrible. They're absolutely. I think they're last in peanut vendor sales. I think they're last in. I think they were last in the Secret Santa pool. I mean, they were last in everything, and they lost in overtime, and it wasn't because of Husso. A lot of people are going to want to say, oh, well, Husso did a bad job. No, I saw Jeff Petrie get the puck at his own goal line and fire it right into Husso. Like, Jeffrey, we're wearing the red jerseys today, bud.
It feels like right now, it really does, I'm not going to lie to you, it feels like that Spider-Man meme where it's like the Red Wings and the Lions pointing at each other, like two teams whose offenses are basically carrying things, with the guy in charge really having a lot of questions, like, is Larkin really a number one center in this league? Is Jared Goff really an elite quarterback? Defenses that don't even show up at all.
Dylan Larkin.
And they're still both somehow playoff contenders.
Dylan Larkin cracked the 4-4 tie in the third period for his 11th of the season. Dylan Larkin's not your problem.
Well, no, he's not the problem. Defense is the problem.
Defense is the problem. Jeffrey Petrie fired the puck into his own net. Luckily, Ville Husso knows, like, I got to keep track of these five guys and this jack wagon.
Did you know he's Dan Petrie's kid?
I think Dan Petrie took a couple line drives to the you-know-where, and that's why it put us in this situation with Jeff Petrie.
Clearly. I mean, this is it's getting stupid. The defense really just seems to just want to not show up at the most inopportune time.
Exactly. Michael Rasmussen, everybody wants to bench Michael Rasmussen and send him to Grand Rapids as soon as possible. He gets his fourth and the fifth of the season. So what's the problem with him? Oh, nobody knows. I mean, what's a team got to do? I mean, yeah, crack down defensively, but also the turnovers. That turnover overtime was because they were sloppy with the puck. When you're up 4-0, fine. Don't worry about putting the puck in the net anymore. You've done your job, but you got to crack down defensively. Forwards have got to help the D.
How do you even give up three shorthanded goals on the same power play, Adam?
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up. Three shorthanded goals on one power play. At that point, just take the yardage.
There's just nothing good to be said about that power play right now. I mean, Husso, yes, he got beat pretty consistently, even if you do and can make the argument that most of the goals given up weren't his fault.
I don't fault Husso. I really don't. I saw him make some really smart saves when the team was clicking. Once they got everybody off kilter, forwards included, Husso was just basically battling the three stooges in front of him and then the San Jose Sharks.
Right. You feel like you're almost battling your own team more than anything sometimes. And that can't be the case going forward. There's some shakeups that need to be had here.
I hope that was enough. I hope that was enough to shake the team up and they can move forward. They got Ottawa. They're playing Ottawa. I don't know if they're in Ottawa or if Ottawa's coming to town on Saturday, but Ottawa is a gritty team. They will get you off your game. You need to play smart.
I'm just hoping the Wings are capable of doing that at this point.
We've talked about it. We've complained about it. The Wings play to their competition. They could go back into Boston and whoop them. Boston's one of the best teams in the NHL. They'll go into Boston and whoop them. Then they go against the last team in the NHL and give up a goal in overtime? That's ridiculous.
No reason that should ever happen.
No, not at all.
I will say, though, it was nice seeing, once again, the fourth line really contributing strong, especially in that area where during that 49 seconds or so where the Wings just went out to that huge lead.
Yes.
Klim Kostin, Christian Fischer, Sprong, all trying to make sure that they're not the guy that's ultimately going to get benched when Compher comes back.
No. Those guys did their... I mean, everybody pretty much
on offense, everyone did their job.
Offense, I mean, you've got Rasmussen doing some things. You got doing great things. You got Raymond contributing. You got Larkin. And Klim Kostin scoring, opening up the scoring, actually, in the second period. Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. I don't know if Newsy, that coach, I don't know if he is the trash can kicking kind of coach, but
he doesn't strike me as such, but
he needs to, I think he needs to clam down a little bit.
Well, don't without a doubt.
Yeah, don't be afraid to change up the goalie, especially, which I think Alex Lyon was the backup. Here's a guy who has proven himself against lowly teams, but guess what? You're having a rough time keeping the puck out of your own net with that goalie. Put the guy in there that's his specialty is the lowly teams. Put Alex Lyon in between the poles.
Yeah, you could make a very strong argument that even if it's just you send a message, quote unquote, that it would have been smart to pull Husso after San Jose tied that game up.
That message worked for San Jose. I mean, I can't remember the coach's name, but it was a name I should have recognized. Gives a timeout after three goals, and then they scored another one. And he's like, nope, Blackwood, you're out. Pulls him in, puts in another goaltender, and it was that at that point, the team got it. They understood it.
David Quinn, by the way.
David Quinn, yes.
Maybe your coach.
So, I mean, you've got to make that statement every once in a while. There's no reason, like, Derek Lalonde should have kept Husso in. I've never seen Lalonde switch out a goalie, and I want to know why.
Well, he's probably not used to having multiple goalies to play around with. Remember, he comes from Tampa, where it's Vasilevsky, and that's it.
Yeah, Vasilevsky.
Like, the other guy who starts, like, three games a season does not matter at all.
Maybe. I don't know.
And it worked in this case, even though Kaapo Kähkönen has not been good this year at all, by any means. Like, he's not even at 900 on the save percentage. No, the backup for San Jose, who came in last night when Blackwood got pulled. 389 goals against, 897 save percentage. But the rest of the team got the hit real quick and turned it around.
Yes, they did. I mean, give it up to the Sharks, who, by the way, they really kind of dulled down that teal in their sweater, and they changed up the numbers. Those away sweaters looked pretty good. I thought they were really sharp.
Don't start saying nice things about the Sharks, Adam. If there's one rule we have around here, it's that we don't say nice things about that team.
I thought they just looked precious. Bless their hearts. And then they started winning. I'm like, I hate the Sharks. Screw you and your teal helmets.
It went right back on that real quick. So
I
do have a question, though, I'm going to have to ask when it relates to your two teams in this town that are actually doing good. We'll do that next. We've got unsolicited advice to do today. Of course, we've got picks. And we'll figure out the rest from there. Stick around. It is happy hour. Back after this. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. So we started talking about the Red Wings in the last segment, and I'm kind of forced to ask right now.
I had to stop myself from talking about the Red Wings, but yeah, please go.
He really did. But I feel like right now, until last night, I feel like a lot of people probably would have made the argument that the Wings are the best team in this town right now. Now it feels like it's more of 1 and 1A with the Wings and the Lions.
I've always thought the Lions have been the better team. I mean, I have been proud of what the Red Wings have been able to accomplish. I really have, and I think they're going to keep going. I think this game is going to be a wake up call to them. But ultimately, maybe it's because the Lions haven't had this kind of success in a very long time.
True.
I'm looking at Lions as a 1A.
I mean, that's fair, but you can make that argument that, I mean, they're currently sitting atop their division. They're more than likely they're going to make the playoffs, and the expectations that they win a home playoff game.
Right.
Wings currently sitting tied for second place in the Atlantic, and they certainly, I mean, right now, obviously in the driver's seat for a playoff spot, that presumably, yes, they're going to make at least the wild card round, and you can almost see them winning a series. It really is just so much. It's funny, honestly, because the team's struggles are so very similar. You have a lot of people don't necessarily have all the faith in the head in the captain of the team, so to speak. You don't have competent defense on either one, and
well,
there's so many glaring things wrong with both. In the Wings' case, it's the defense. In the Lions' case, it's also the defense.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at the key positions of each team, the Red Wings' goalie, the Lions' quarterback, I put more faith in Jared Goff than I do in Husso, Lyon, or the other guy, all combined.
I do absolutely feel like that's fair. I mean, if you're going right now, which one would you trust to win you a playoff game?
Jared Goff.
I think you're going with Goff and the Lions over insert goalie here and the Wings. Or really, if to put them both up against, like, your first-round opponent, like, say you're the Lions, you're coming in against, I don't know, any team other than Philly right now in Detroit, up against, say, a Boston. I mean, I almost have to give the nudge there to the Wings just for the fact that we've watched them play up to their level of competition. I mean, we have seen the Lions do that to an extent with the Kansas City game, but we've also we've watched them play so low to teams that they shouldn't even be, that shouldn't even still be in the building with them. I mean, that game against the Chargers, the game against the Bears, the game they ultimately lost to Green Bay. And, had last night against the Sharks, but at least with the Sharks, the offense was still at least there. Like, it seems like everything kind of comes to a halt against the garbage teams when it comes to the Lions sometimes. Like, Goff will all of a sudden just start throwing picks like crazy.
He is a second-half kind of magician. As far as here, the Red Wings, especially in this last game, they'll lay down and show their belly in the second half of a game.
You do see that, honestly, more often than we'd like to. I mean, the fact, like I said, you're giving up three goals on a power play on any given night. Three shorthanded goals on a power play.
That's an embarrassment. That is an embarrassment.
That is embarrassing. And yet, I still feel like at this point, the Wings are the better team, are the best team that Detroit currently has going for it. Like,
they are, but, I mean, okay, we tiptoed around it. They do play up to their
level of competition.
But they'll play down to it as well. They need to figure that second part out because, yes, they have beat Boston twice in regulation.
The difference is, though, the goaltending can actually still stand up against garbage teams. Just ask Alex Lyon about that.
They should be able to. Well, I mean, okay. Yeah,
because that's going to mean where Lyon thrived for this team. Yes,
our last segment, I said we really shouldn't blame Husso. I mean, he had a few maybe flubs here and there, but you could expect that from a goaltender. It's defense. The defense and the forwards have got to realize just because if you're up 4-0 doesn't mean you can punch out for the rest of the day. You still have to play.
I feel like we do see that a lot with the Wings, more so probably than we do with the Lions. Like, the Lions are...
It seems like when they're down, they find an extra gear. They pull, like, I'm talking about that Chicago Bears game. Here's a team they should have beat, and they did beat, but they were down most of that game. It was a big old teeter totter, and they had to, like, really kind of clamp down and make it happen. And I think that's the persona that they're going to have to win their first playoff game since 1991.
thing is, though, with the Wings, like, it's not, I mean, yeah, they do tend to let teams back in, but they're also not completely giving up. Like, you now, you don't see, like, okay, we're down 4-0. Clearly, this game is out of reach. You no longer feel that way like you would have, like, even a season or two ago.
Yeah.
Like, there is that bit of resilience that was certainly missing. And, yeah, that granted, we are seeing from the Lions still, too, but I feel like we're seeing it more out of the Red Wings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Lions season is almost over. So, I mean, I feel comfortable with them.
We're about five games left from the end of this thing.
The Wings, I'm happy with what they're doing. You cannot look at the standings and not be, you can be fine with that. I mean, they're tied for second in the Atlantic Division, which is a very strong division if we really break it down.
Yeah, but Florida is not having their not having the hangover that a lot of people thought they were going to.
Yeah, didn't they get my message? You lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. You were supposed to be trash.
And they very much were not.
No, they're not.
Boston, yeah, Boston's good.
But we counted them out too.
But we have Boston, but we still have their number somehow.
Yeah, but I mean, New York Rangers are doing a great job. Toronto Maple Leafs, as much as we want to bag on them, they're not out of the mix.
Yeah, so, Tampa's obviously always in it. Like you, I think, and I will say this right now, I'm calling my shot here.
All right.
I think both the wild card teams end up coming out of the Atlantic in the Eastern Conference.
I'm right there with you. If there's
absolutely
let's talk to Drew and see if maybe there's a prop bet in Vegas for that. Let's put some money on that one.
Let's get our resident bookie on the show on this thing. So here's my question then.
All right.
If you're still arguing that necessarily that the Lions are the better team, the best team in Detroit right now, which of the two teams do you think makes it further in the playoffs this year?
The Lions.
Yeah, considering their conference. Absolutely. I mean,
just blew up the
board. They're going to have a problem with the Eagles. There's no doubt about that. But then you look at everybody else in that conference, I think the Lions could take them.
I think the Lions can take most of the other I would question if they how well they do against San Francisco. But I think they could probably take them. But who in the right now in the Atlantic, who do you think the Wings can't beat? Or even the Metro? Realistically, I don't think there's a team right now that the Wings couldn't take in the first round and beat.
The best team in the league right now.
And you handed them both their regular.
Yeah, you're bringing up good points here, but I mean, once you get into the playoff mode, which anybody who has watched professional sports knows that there's a different gear that kicks in, at least for the NHL. I think Boston clamps it down. I think Toronto is hungry. They're embarrassed. They start clamping things down. Tampa Bay.
And they'll choke.
Tampa Bay, anybody who wants to count them out, has not seen Tampa Bay history. So, I don't know. Once.
Do you hear the rumors, by the way, that supposedly Stamkos is up for trade?
Yeah, and you know who started that? Tampa Bay Lightning. You know what jersey I'm seeing already? For Stamkos, blue and white. Of course, that's Tampa Bay also.
Yeah, that doesn't really narrow it down, Eddie. You know what jersey you see for Stamkos? The team that he's currently on.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm right. Check my stats. Shut up.
You make it so easy.
No,
so,
I mean,
so you're saying all we got to do is get a keg of Guinness and a case of Jameson, head to Boston, and get a hold of Brad Marchand, and the Wings are going to make it?
No, with Brad Marchand, you just get him a wheel of cheese. I think that's going to be just fine.
He'll be stopped up for days.
No, he's a rat Marchand. He's got a nose like a rat. And
he looks like
the guy's a rat.
He's got a rat face. That's why I call him Rat Face Marsha.
Yeah.
But
so we kind of serpentined around. I don't remember exactly what the question was.
The question was which team is the best team in Detroit sports right now?
With the 49ers notwithstanding, I think it is your Detroit Lions.
And I do think the Wings or that the Lions win a home playoff game. I am less and less convinced as the season goes on they can win two of them. I do think the Wings can take a series, Al. I think absolutely the Wings can
Philly
take a series.
Philly and Detroit in the NFC playoff game. Philly ultimately wins it out, but leaves us with a glimmer of hope for the Lions.
I don't buy
Philly and Detroit in the first round of the play in the NHL playoffs.
They're, no, NFC.
No, that no, but I mean that too, because right now Philly is very much in contention at the moment. You could potentially draw them as a dance partner here too.
I don't buy into your lack of belief in the Detroit Lions. I believe they're going to win two playoff games, and I will bet you an empty bottle of whiskey.
An empty bottle of whiskey? He why already has it.
So do I, but why would we bet an empty bottle?
But his shaped like a Wolverine player.
Oh, good Lord, you can have that thing. That's Kessler, and Kessler is terrible. Like we're going to like not do that if we could here.
Yeah.
So
my empty bottle shaped like a cowboy hat.
I mean, that's... Oh, that's yeah. Right. The tequila. I forgot about
Sombrero.
The tequila.
He took that. He took that.
Anyway, okay, that's why. Okay. Yeah. We're just about up against it, though. We're going to get to unsolicited advice coming up. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. It's your Duffney and Brother Stone hanging out with us as well. And it's once again that time of the week for Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept them, and we, I think, give better advice than the people that actually get paid to do this for a living.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a couple ringers with us, Brother Stone and Drew from the Blarney Hour.
There's no guarantee that that's going to mean that the advice is going to be good.
I can hear you over here.
I put the ice in advice.
You also put the whiskey in advice somehow, too.
Actually, if I've ever called on these two gentlemen for advice, they are actually very straightforward. So let's see what they do in this realm.
All right. Oh, boy. Let's dive into this.
Is he talking about the toilet realm?
Dear, oh, God, Brother Stone and Drew are there. This should be interesting. My boyfriend, who is in his 50s, seems to have a strong need or desire to stay friends with all his ex-girlfriends. Not just one, but most. He doesn't introduce me to them. He spends quality time with them, going to dinner, buying them gifts, and talking on the phone. I've told him his closeness to his ex-partners makes me feel insecure, but I'm willing to work on my insecurity because that's my piece of the issue. My question is, shouldn't he work on exploring why he feels compelled to collect these ex-partners as friends and keep them so close? No one in my social circle thinks this is normal, and I'm embarrassed to tell my friends and family when they ask what he's up to, and I have to say, oh, he's just out to dinner with, insert one of many ex-girlfriends' names. Am I wrong to ask him to explore why he feels the need to stay friends with all these women, or is it just my job to get over it?
I'm a strong no.
You guys want to take the first crack at this one?
Their ex is for a reason.
Yeah.
First and foremost. Okay, if you have children together and you got a parent together, but that's the parenting part. Taking them to dinner, going out. I'm sorry, but without her.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship with me, and you think you're going to go with your ex-husband or ex-boyfriend to dinner or a family reunion, I'm sorry, you're dead wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might go, but when you come home, I won't be around.
Right.
Because it's like, if you can spend that time with them, why aren't you spending it with me?
How many pairs of shoes you got at home?
Enough. I got two pairs of shoes.
Two pairs?
Yeah. And house
slippers. I don't believe either one of you. I know you got more than two pairs of shoes because I've watched you buy them and bring them into the house.
No, I have one.
I bought these boots and some slip-ons.
Your Chucks, I'm buying that you got one. I know these two have got like yard shoes and they got work boots and they've got...
Nope. I got a pair of hunting boots, two pair of dudes.
And, oh, see, we're getting there. So five.
Two pair of house slippers.
Okay, so six.
But
so
what you is have, your point you with have, the shoes?
So it's kind of like what I'm saying. Yeah. When you get a new one, you don't always throw the old ones away.
Right? Well, sometimes if they don't fit... Or they start mess around with other feet. You get rid of them,
right? Like, you might have athlete's foot. Don't wear my shoe.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? And that's where I'm going here. So clearly, this individual doesn't have and kind of like what you were saying, they're exes for a reason, and I can respect that. Trust me, I have shoes at home that I got rid of because they hurt my feet.
Sure.
Okay, I'm with you there.
Right.
But there are shoes that I just don't want to get rid of
because you're comfortable in them.
Yeah, well,
right.
Yeah, I'm comfortable having them at home in the event I may need them.
How about the one you're trying to build a life with now? This brand new pair of shoes. You got to give it time to get comfortable for you too, and you're going to lose that opportunity by wearing the old shoes.
Maybe that's why I have a lot of shoes and I don't just have one pair that I like.
Right.
Maybe. The thing is, I mean, we're really kind of we're having a rough time comparing women to shoes because
for whatever reason
you could have shoes.
You put your feet in one.
It's truly
a tortured metaphor we've got going on here.
For work, you have shoes that you would go out to a nice dinner. Yes. You have shoes for church. You have, but you don't have women like you. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to church. You're doing it wrong
if you don't have women at work, women when you go out at night, and women at church.
I'll tell you what. I did the whole girlfriend at work thing, and I've learned the hard way.
Yeah.
You don't get your meat where you get your bread.
Yes, exactly.
There's two different stories.
Now, when Sean first started this story, I started thinking about all the arguments that my exes, my women have had a problem with me because I don't, I still have a lot of friends who are my exes. But once that letter started being, okay, he's taking them out to dinner, he's spending time with them, that's a problem.
That's not only a red flag, that is just a huge, giant red flag.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, here's where, and I resonated with both of those opinions when that line came out. Here's where I differentiate there.
It's the laces, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And summer Velcro. My thing is, it's not like she's saying, you know, we're struggling to keep the lights on, or we can't afford Christmas presents, or I wanted to go to this charity ball, but he didn't have the money because he was going out with his other women. That's not the complaint. The complaint is, it makes me feel insecure. And it reminds me to one of the advice columns that you had had a few months back to where the guy talked online to these women in a derogatory way or a profane way.
Sure.
But yet he wouldn't talk that way to his wife.
Right.
And she's like, why doesn't he talk that? I want you to, you know, change things up. I'm kind of bored with our relationship.
Right, right.
More or less.
You know, is this where I bust out the drop of your wife saying that she has to beg me talk to you the way you were talking to me that one night?
No.
You guys know the segment that I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
I kind of relate that to this. Don't even say I'm hearing you. I've dealt with that garbage all week long from corporate entities. I hear you. We hear you.
I see and we need you to digest. Definitely in debating mode right now.
Yeah. We need to digest your verbs.
Well, let's digest this. The fact that you're talking about online relationships as opposed to going out to real Applebee's in person.
So I guess this is one of those that I need more information because is he taking his current wife with the other? Because she
sounds
just
like she's not. No. She's not there.
Yeah, she's
not
just feeling like a little insecure.
I'd say more than feeling a little insecure.
But that's what she said.
Me personally, if you've got the extra time to spend with, because we all know life is hectic, it's crazy. We all get, you know, in the rut of things as far as trying to make ends meet and keep them tied. And you sometimes don't have that extra time to spend with your loved ones. But now,
it sounds like this guy's got time away for 5 hours. He's got like a solar flare. Yeah,
maybe that's
a 25-hour clock.
Is he buying dinner or are they?
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't think it's about
either
money.
Way, it's
I don't
personal.
Think it's about time because it could be a situation where, okay, I'm working and he's out with Miss February, you know, doing whatever. I don't think it has anything to do with time. I don't think it has anything to do with money. I think it's the fact that he's spending emotional time on somebody else.
Right. And so does it stop at dinner?
I that's what she's probably wondering.
Well, and she said it makes me feel insecure, is what she said.
It should, because he's like, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing. Here's how she fixes this. And I'm going to tread lightly because I don't want Sean to hit the pause button. But, and I'm being 100% serious. Mm-hmm. She say, well, you were out with so-and-so. Maybe the three of us go on a date together.
My belief. They all need to go to Applebee's together and get half off appetizers
when I
after
say
nine.
Date, when I say date, I mean something else. And see what he says. Oh, I think that'd be a great idea. I think so-and-so would be...
Then you
would have your answer.
Yep. Then you stick that red flag right in the ground.
Oh, they're just
exes.
They're just friends. I don't see them as anything more than friends.
Yeah.
As soon as you say, well, why don't you and her and I... And if he's cool with it, then you have your answer. And you know you have a problem. Get out of there.
No, he has a problem. It's time for you to drop that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Drew's red face.
I've been single, like completely single, for a solid 6-7 years.
Really? Me too.
Yeah. Well, not 6-7 years.
I'm talking not even as much as a kiss.
When was COVID? I'm like a year after COVID.
And
I forced her into a divorce, and then she left me. Sean's looking at me with a Popeye eye.
You make it sound like she died of COVID. He's like, well, no. Now I got some alone time.
That was her complaint. She's like, we never went anywhere. I'm like, they were always closed.
True. I get your point on that. We went to
the casino, like the only place open during COVID.
Right? But you dropped $5,000, but we had a good time, didn't we?
We DoorDashed every night.
That's right.
We kept getting the DoorDash with one guy that wouldn't wear a mask, and then he stopped coming around because he died. But
oh, my.
I don't know. Sean, what do you think?
You're the tiebreaker here.
I'm the tiebreaker? How does that work? There's three of you.
Right now. Oh, so you're the tie maker.
Yeah, I would be the tie maker, and I don't think I'm going to be the tie maker here because I don't like anything about this. Like, So, in my own personal experience, I haven't stayed friends really with any of my exes. I've got one or two of them I'm friends with on social media.
Because you only got like two.
That's not the point.
That's a loyalty standard beyond my understanding.
Yeah.
But that being said, I wouldn't be going out, buying them gifts, and taking them out to dinner.
Exactly.
That seems weird.
Yes.
This very much doesn't say, oh, they're just friends. This suggests to me that he's still messing around with them in some capacity. Yes. I don't like it. I feel like it is that. It's one thing, okay, we occasionally text from time to time or whatever, like we still stay in touch and are cool, like if we see each other at a party or whatever, but he's talking literally buying them gifts and taking them out for, like, you know, lavish dinners and things, like, it's weird. It's weird and I don't like it, and I feel like you're justified in feeling insecure about this.
Yeah.
You're embellishing. He never said lavished, or she never said lavished. Maybe they're homeless.
She's taking them out, other women out to dinner, Drew. It's not a good look.
No. Yeah.
Buying them dinner, buying them gifts. And
maybe
things.
That's the only meal of their day, and they're homeless. I mean, the best part of
it's time to move on.
The best part about dating homeless women is you can drop them off anywhere.
Charlie,
the best
thing about waking how come up all your exes are homeless? Like, well, you know, I like to drop them off anywhere.
She's like, so here's the thing. It depends on who you are, right? Because the same boiling water hardens the egg, softens the potato, right? So maybe her perception is, he takes them out for dinner. Well, maybe they're homeless.
They might look at each other like, what is this guy talking about?
They're homeless, and he walks by, and he's like, oh, Photoshop moment. I'm going to buy this homeless person a cheeseburger.
True.
She's like, he takes them out to dinner and buys them gifts. I bought him new socks and gave him a cheeseburger because she's homeless.
Drew, I'm pretty sure they're not homeless.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my ex, she tried to play that game too with the whole, well, I come home with you. Well, you know what? You keep playing games like that, you won't be.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're done. Yeah, that's, you're cut off. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because a guy's going to sit there and spend money on women he's not.
That he's not currently dating, so he says, that he used to date.
Yeah.
And he's spending money on them and not you. Like,
so many red flags.
Yes.
So many red flags.
I'd say
all of the red flags.
It's ultimatum time. Them or me.
No, because
you make a choice.
I'm actually going to play the Sean card. I'm like, no, ultimatums are done.
Yeah, just
he is just out of there.
Yep, I agree.
Everything
go
about this
go date
just,
Drew.
And I now have no question why Drew's single.
It explains so much, doesn't it?
It's all clear now.
Go date Drew. You
but
can date whoever you want.
So, you know, that's...
Got a waitress at every truck stop.
There you go.
Wow. Not where I thought that was going.
And he only goes to two times.
What, you think I was going to say later?
Oh, you know.
Oh, goodness.
This is where normally I'd go on to read another one of these. And this
we spent like 20 minutes on one. This is a new one.
I know. We haven't done this in a while, honestly. So, in that case, you know what? Let's go ahead and hit a break real quick. That this works because John McMurray standing by with your weekend weather forecast.
Hi, John.
And we'll come back, and you know what? We'll do a couple more of these because we just kind of we took so long with this one trying to justify Drew's dating habits. We'll do more of this coming up. We'll do more of this in a sec. It's Happy Hour at 95.3 WMIC. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, Brother Stone, and Drew Duffney hanging out with us as well. And we figured, you know, we spent so much time on that last bit unsolicited advice. We've still got some advice left to give.
Yes.
So let's dive back into this thing, shall we? Yes, yeah, you get a bonus dose of advice today. Mm-hmm. Aren't you lucky? Dear somebody who cares.
We're the advice donors.
Something like that. My best friend has been dating her boyfriend for over 2 years. Their relationship goes back further. She's been in love with him for a long time and always hoped they'd end up together since he was her brother's best friend prior to his passing. I've rooted for them, but I don't know what to do anymore. I've noticed a pattern. We'll go out for dinner and drinks with her boyfriend and friends. At some point, she gets angry and starts berating her boyfriend. It's uncomfortable to watch, and I try and defuse the situation to little effect. It reaches the point the boyfriend can't take it anymore, and he leaves to make a point. Problem is, he'll leave us no matter where we are. He pulled over a car and walked away, leaving me to drive us home. Another time, he left her in a city at night to take public transit home alone after he got a ride with a friend. I've spoken to them separately, her about her temper and him about the unsafe circumstances he's left women in. Both blame their ongoing issues for these outbursts and think they're each in the right. I won't tell them to break up, it's not my place, but I can't be involved in these scenarios when I spend time with them. Where do I go from here?
Oh, that's first simple. Hand in the air, has anybody walked a mile at midnight leaving their woman at a bar?
No. Yes. I think it was a meetup with you.
All right. Well, I'm buying into that. Otherwise, I'd say first qualified. So that place that's across from Gilly's, the bar out by where we live now, or my brother and where you live?
Across from Gilly's?
Yeah.
Dooley's?
Oh. Dooley's. Yeah, it's Dooley's. Yeah, yeah. It's it used to be a different bar, and my girlfriend and I were there.
Yeah.
And
you left her?
I was taking a lot of like dietary stimulants to try to be buff just and try steroids. To be healthy. Yeah, no, it was more like amphetamine to lose weight.
Okay.
And Tina.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of throwing her name out there. And her sister-in-law was in, or her cousin was in from Florida.
Yeah.
And like she criticized me on how I was dancing and she's like, "Oh, my cousin's da 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 whatever else." And I'm like, "You know what? You can be with your cousin and you can be family as much as you want." And I literally walked to my brother's house from there, which is 2 miles at midnight.
Wow.
So here's the thing. Things happen when
alcohol.
Yeah. Alcohol, drugs. I personally, in hindsight, I believe it was a combination. I think it was the combination of the highs from the amphetamine or the weight loss drugs that had the stimulant and then the suppressant from the alcohol that caused an emotional imbalance. Not to try to dissect it all, but if this is a common thing, maybe those folks shouldn't go to the bar. Maybe they should go to the play. Or maybe they should go to like their local theater.
A coffee house or something like that. But also, I'm reaching real deep. The fact that she's always had a flirtation with this guy. And it's a connection with her brother who has passed. Right. So maybe she feels like she wants him to live up to a certain expectation. But she's not going to get rid of him because it's a connection with her brother.
Right. Now,
that was a level of depth that I had no intentions of going
to. Yeah.
Right. Now, I also have been in a situation with a particular woman that she was a great girlfriend until the alcohol hit. And then she hit this other level of craziness. One night we were driving down the road, she says, and she had been intoxicated. I was driving. She says, "Why is it okay for your dad to cheat on your mom, but my ex-husband can't cheat on me?" And I said, first, my dad never cheated on my mom, and secondly, there's no comparison. And she proceeded to kick the windshield out of her own vehicle.
Wow! Oh, yeah. My God! Yes. We skipped a lot of steps there.
High heels or flats?
Actually, the long knee boots.
It was the 90s, so it was like a Doc Martin.
It actually wasn't the 90s. It was actually Doc
Martin. It was last night.
it was the night before last. But, it was just a while ago. But, and so I'm the same way. If you – that's always been my issue. If you can't handle your liquor, then
Yeah, well, I mean, as Sean was reading the story, the letter, I guess I didn't put two and two together of the situations that they were in.
They were all a night out. It was never like we're having dinner and she tweaks out and goes and locks herself in the bathroom.
But maybe she's still angry from the loss of her brother, and she takes it out on his best friend.
I just don't think that she and her and the boyfriend are compatible, and they're ignoring all the signs because, you know, he's trying to make things as good. We're not hearing things from his perspective,
right.
So I can only guess. But he wants things to work out as good as possible. She is, you know, feeling a connection with this guy. He's supposed to be my soulmate. I've loved him for all this time, and he's been my brother. Blah blah blah, and. She's not willing to let it go.
Yeah.
The writer cannot solve her friend, cannot solve her friend's boyfriend. Nope. She needs to take herself out of the situation open and honest. Right. I'm not going out to party with you guys because this
is how it ends.
Yeah. You guys are always fighting. I'm done.
Or just her? I mean, I guess the boyfriend.
It sounds like
I've had enough. I gotta bail.
They're always fighting. Probably one little thing is a match that lights that all ablaze. So the writer just needs to say, "Oh, okay, you guys are celebrating a birthday or doing this. I'm not coming, and here is why." And give a detailed description.
I'll be at Thanksgiving because we can all gather that you don't lock yourself in the bathroom. You only leave the bar, or you only get out of the car in the middle of a city street.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And now, same ex, we would break up for a point of time, probably because she wanted to go do something with her ex, which leads me back to the last situation.
Right.
But then she would say, "Well, why is it when we're broken up that you can go to the bar?" I said, "Because I can go to the bar and have a drink or two with friends and not have issues like every time when I'm with you."
I mean, at what point in the relationship did you determine that it's not safe to drive your vehicle because she's going to kick the windshield out?
Oh, I just drove hers all the time.
I
learned quick.
Yeah, she takes us to places where the car gets shot or broken into or people steal stuff or she kicks the windshield out. So we're taking her vehicle.
Yeah. I pay attention to things and I don't forget.
That's the thing. Not every cocktail is toxic. It takes a specific ingredient. And if she was that ingredient, you learn quick.
Quickly.
Yeah.
I did, but I didn't because we were together for 12 years. Well, depending on what made it seem like she wasn't cheating on me. So it could have been 10 years, but, you know, whichever the case may be, you know.
So on the periodic table, that's minute.
You're right, yes.
All right. Seanster, how you feeling?
I'm thinking I'm never hanging out with these people in public again.
Right?
Yeah, because they're going to get out of a trolley car.
Writer. Oh, yeah.
Take
yourself out of that.
Remove yourself from the situation entirely. I know we make the joke that my advice is always just to cut people off, but in this case, I feel like you need to cut people off.
Well, the thing is, I would, and I do kind of like a hybrid of our ideas, don't hang out with them anymore, but tell them why.
Yeah.
Have some sort of self-reflective kind of thing where they, okay, so-and-so is not hanging out with us because we act like a-holes.
Right.
Because, so it's...
Clearly we can't be trusted to be adults, so our friends don't want to hang out with us anymore.
Right.
Crazy how that works.
Right? I choose not to.
No, I would absolutely choose not to associate with these people going forward.
Or the path of negativity like that's craziness.
Yeah, like it's not like you can't save these people's relationship. Clearly, they're going to be a toxic mess always, and there's pretty much nothing you can do to stop that. Unfortunately, I know it's most people's nature to want to try and solve these things, but in this case, clearly it can't be done. There's no saving this. You just kind of have to extricate yourself from the situation and like, yeah, you guys have a great time. I'll be here not getting stranded downtown somewhere.
Right, exactly. I'm changing my grandma's diaper this weekend. I got things to do.
Yeah.
You can't save the situation, the relationship, or the person. You're exactly right.
Absolutely you can't. Like, and at some point, it's just not worth it to try and save people who clearly don't want the help and thrive on being, quite frankly, toxic.
Yes.
We got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to close this thing out with the picks. Don't go anywhere. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's that time of the week again. It is Friday. It's almost the end of the show. And, of course, that means it is time for the picks. Yes. Woo! Full house today is we've got, of course, Adam, as always. Lapeer Main Street Manager James Tiberius Ulls.
With a new contract.
Our old pal Drew Duffney and Brother Stone. Contract.
And I ain't got
coming in to try and establish their football dominance, even though Drew hasn't won the picks once this year so far.
And I don't even know what football is.
This is my week.
Soccer, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Red card.
Absolutely.
That's totally it. So it's pretty much all NFL this week because there's only one college game going on that maybe we'll pick if we feel like it later. I don't know. We start in the AFC South, or the NFC South, rather. The Tampa Bay Bucks headed to Atlanta to take on the Falcons for NFC South supremacy, which really is not saying a whole lot. I don't even know who's starting for the Falcons this week. I don't think Desmond Ritter is. I think they're trying the Taylor Heineke thing as far as they can take that. Tampa comes in at 5-7. Falcons are 6-6. We start with Adam Harahuck on the pick.
You know what? They don't have Tom Brady anymore. They haven't, obviously, by the 5-7 record, but I'm still going with the Bucks.
Drew.
You know, I come from an island where there's a land of fishermen, and it's more often than not that the Pirates control the Falcons. So I'm saying Tampa Bay all the way.
There you go.
Sure, we'll go with that. Jim Ault on the pick.
You know, Atlanta's had some success the last couple weeks. I think they're on a little bit of a roll, which isn't saying much, but I think it is going to continue.
Look who they played.
Give it who they played, but give me Atlanta on this one.
Brother Stone.
My grandpa always called everybody a dirty bird that did him wrong, so I'm going to go with the Falcon or the Atlanta, yeah.
So for what it's worth, yeah, they've won the last couple of weeks, but they beat the Jets, which I think most high school teams could probably beat the Jets at this point. And the Saints also aren't exactly anything to write home about either, so I don't have that much faith, even against the Tampa Bay team that has, shall we say, struggled a bit this season. I have probably more faith in Baker Mayfield than anything I do on the Atlanta side, though. Give me Tampa Bay. Up next, Indy, Uncle Rico, Gardner Minshew, and the Colts headed to Cincy to take on what's left of the Bengals. Cincy, give them credit. They did pull it out against the Jags last week on Monday Night Football. But things just not going great for the Bengals of late. That's their first win in their last four games, for whatever it might be worth. And the Colts are, give credit to the Colts and what they have managed to do with Minshew under center. They've won their last four. We start with Drew Duffney on the pick.
I watched Snoop Dogg and Animal Planet, and I can tell you what a Bengal is going to do to a Colt. Give me Cincy.
Jimothy.
You know, Jake Browning is quoted as he has no plans of being a one-hit wonder. I don't believe him, but I want to. So give me Cincinnati.
You want? I didn't think you could root for another team in the AFC North here, Jimothy. I thought those were the rules.
It's going to take a while for him to go home safe, but
fair. Brother Stone on the pick.
Yeah, give me Cincy.
Adam.
I mean, how are things different than they were a year ago where I'm picking the Colts over the Bengals? I mean, Joe Burrow's out, I guess. But yeah, go ahead and give me the Colts.
No, give me the Colts as well. I think the Uncle Rico train rolls here for at least one more week in Indy. That team's like slowly playing themselves into a playoff spot, and I think they might actually do it. Up next, Jacksonville coming off that heartbreaker of a loss to the Bengals last week. They head to Cleveland to take on the Browns. In this one, I believe the Browns are favored by 3 at home. Jacksonville comes in with an 8-4 record. We start with Jim Ault on the pick.
All right, I think Jacksonville's going to rebound on this one. Give me the Jags.
Brother Stone.
I'm going to go with the Jags, too.
Adam.
100% Jags.
Drew.
I'm saying the Browns all the way to the Super Bowl.
I'm taking Jacksonville as well. Give me the Jags. Up next, the Vikings head to Vegas to take on the Raiders. Vikings looking to push for, well, something in the NFC North. I don't think they're going to get it, but that hardly matters here. Minnesota is favored by 3 over Vegas. We start with Brother Stone on the pick.
Well, let's just keep it with Minnesota.
Adam.
No, give me Vegas.
Drew.
I'm with Brother Stone on this one. There's going to be pillaging and plundering all over those desert rats.
Jimothy.
Going to make a bold prediction that one of these teams is going to end their losing streak this week.
Ooh.
Boom. Ooh. And I think that's going to be Minnesota.
Sean, I do think that one of these teams will indeed end their losing streak this week.
Bold prediction.
I know, bold. This is the kind of, you know, bold sports analysis you tune into this radio show for.
Right.
That said, give me Vegas.
Could end in a tie, you never know.
Yeah, that's... it's not unheard of.
Boldly in Vegas, the odds makers, it's going to be one of them Sicilian neckties.
Up next, I apologize to Sicilians and bookmakers. Because I'd like to not end up in concrete shoes if y'all catch my drift. Up next, the Bills. They're headed to Kansas City to take on the
Taylor Swifties.
And, yeah, and no, I know everyone's going to ask. I have no idea if Taylor Swift is going to be in attendance at the game. KC's only favored by one against the Bills at home. We start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Taylor Swift says, yes, I'm going to be at the game. And then she like just pretty much disparaging terms for all the football fans out there. Say, I don't care about you Brads and you Chads. I'm going to be there to support Travis. Eat it.
So, Adam has a direct line to Taylor Swift.
No, who knew? I read it on Facebook. You guys are all available.
You got a friendship bracelet, don't you?
If I did, you guys will all hear about it multiple times in the day. Give me the Chiefs.
Drew.
I know how the Chiefs feel like Buffalo. Give me KC.
Jimothy.
Yeah, KC on this one.
Brother Stone.
I'm going against all the odds. I'm going with the Bills.
Give me, you know what? Give me KC on this one, too. Up next, Philly headed to Dallas to take on the Cowboys.
Oh.
Dallas is favored by 3.5 in this one.
What?
Well, because, you know, home team and so on and so forth.
America's
well,
team.
Dial tone. Drew on the pick.
Not Dallas.
Jimothy.
Oh, this is a tough one because I don't like either team. I don't want either one to win. Maybe this is the one I call for a tie.
Yeah, a 0-0 tie, and both quarterbacks go out with an injury.
In this case, it would be a bolo.
I'm going to go with Dallas on this one.
Brother Stone.
Yeah, I'm not Dallas either.
Not Dallas. Everyone just not Dallas.
Trying to keep the words very plain.
Yeah,
yeah, we're trying to keep it simple. We don't want to hurt the church people's ears.
Yeah.
Adam on the pick.
I'm not trying to hurt our NFC chances, but yeah. No S Cowboys. Po for war.
So this is where we really... I feel so dirty for what I'm about to do here.
You know.
Because I hate America's team.
You are
with
not.
The white hot passion of a thousand suns. But I need Philly to start losing some games so we can catch up to them in the NFC race. So I guess give me Dallas.
Okay.
No, I feel like I need to go home and shower.
I'm hearing you, but wow.
You're crying.
Oh, yeah, it feels
pretty
so
dirty. Much. I just not get clean.
True story, I was preoccupied. That's why I said not Dallas. I didn't hear the first team, but isn't this like the Patrick Swayze ending scene of Next to Ken? Is the Sicilians against the Cowboys?
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow. Somebody's been watching Cinemax at 1 a.m.
I guess.
More like TBS on a Tuesday.
So we have two games on Monday night, and if we're going to be entirely honest here, both of them suck. Green Bay and the Giants. Now, that looked like a good matchup at the start of this season, and then this season happened. Green Bay is favored by 6.5. Round the room real quick. We'll start with Jim.
Green Bay.
Brother Stone.
Green Bay.
Adam.
G-Men, let's watch the world burn.
Drew.
So I only learned this week that Green Bay was actually once owned by the people.
It still is.
Really?
Yep.
I don't even like the people that play for Green Bay, but when I learned that, I think that's unique. So I'm saying go Packers.
Good union boy that he is. Give me the pack and the points. And then the other game, the Titans and the Dolphins. Miami is favored by 13 this matchup. Like I said, if it wasn't Monday Night Football, we wouldn't be picking it.
Yeah.
Brother Stone.
I'm going with the Dolphins. Free Willy.
Adam.
Dolphins and the points.
Drew. Ooh.
Finkel is Einhorn. Finkel is Einhorn. Give me the Dolphins.
Jimothy.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins as well.
And then I will take Miami. You can keep the points. Finally, the game we all really care about this week. This is one we're all excited about. Your Detroit Football Lions head to Chicago to take on a 4-8 Bears team that they almost lost to last month.
Yes.
Detroit is still favored by 3, as well they should be. We'll start with Adam Harahuck on the pick.
I'm saying Lions, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to be watching, biting my nails, because that last game, I'm hoping that the Lions learned a lesson from that. I'm hoping this is a complete blowout. In fact, my pick is going to reflect that. Lions 42, Bears 12.
Golly. Wow.
Drew Duffy on the pick.
Bears hibernate this time of year. So here come the Lions. They're going to eat some Charmin underneath. Give me the Lions. give me the Lions. 26-17.
Fozzie Bear was a bear, and he told some bad jokes, and the Lions are really going to laugh at those jokes when it comes night.
Jim Alt on the pick.
No, I think Lions are going to make up for their performance last time. They'll pull it off. Listen, still be relatively close. 27-21.
Brother Stone on the pick.
Listen, man, I've swore off the Lions. I was watching them because I feel like I brought that bad karma. I watched two games this year, Thanksgiving and last week. Need I say more? I'm going with the Lions, but I won't be watching them.
I'll give you live updates as long as I'm alive.
I can't help but take the Lions here. Like, there's no reason on paper that this should be a close game. There's no reason that the Lions should lose this game. And in any other season, I'd be like, well, that's why I'm taking the Bears. In this case, though.
The Bears?
Give me the Detroit 30, Chicago 13, Montgomery for 2 touchdowns. There's your picks. Do we want to do the one college game that exists this week?
There is one?
Let's go ahead and do it. There's exactly one game going on in college football this week between two teams that honestly don't stand a chance of putting up a combined score of more than about 20, but we're going to do this anyway, the Army-Navy game. Because, well, we might need the tiebreaker in here somewhere. Both teams come in 5-6. Army's favored by 3. The over-under, for what's worth, on this one is 28.5. Let's go ahead and start with Drew on the pick.
Really? You're going to... I was feeling slighted because out of all the rounds, you kind of left me out of the starting order.
No, we rotated. You got exactly
you
2.
You have been first, yes.
I'm just going to say, why are you going to start with the military men? And you're talking about the over and under. Of course the Navy is going to be under. They have submarines.
Oh, for God's
sake. This is the artillery.
That's funny, though.
It is going to be the Army, and they're going to win, and they're going to march like Army men do all over the men with boats. I'm not going to use the term that Brother Stone did.
Thank you.
Jim Alt on the pick.
Over at this point again.
I'm going to take Army and the points.
Brother Stone.
I'm going to stay with Army. You already know the reason, but yeah, God bless our soldiers.
Yeah.
Adam Harahuck on the pick.
My dear old dad served in the United States Army from 66 to 68, served in Vietnam. So I am going with United States Army.
Narm.
Well, if that's the logic we're going through here, my dad also was in the Army. So, you know what? Yeah, give me Army for the win. On that note, though, now that we've gotten our way through the picks for this week, it's about that time where we try to atone for the many, many sins we've committed on this radio program. And really, the big one is Happy Hour would like to apologize to Sicilian bookies because we're not looking to end up in concrete shoes at the bottom of the Jersey River. That's,
yes.
You know, that's really the important thing that we want to get across this afternoon.
Yes, exactly.
So as long as we're all on the same page with that, we'll be good. We got to go. Stick around. Sessions is up next at Solid State Radio. I'll be in well. Talk to you tomorrow. They'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11. I'll talk to you Monday at 3. See ya.